Everyone, this is the New American Dream Radio Show. And we are streaming live from Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. This is our final show of 2018. And to open it, I played a little bit of a song that we that my choir performed on Christmas Eve. Mike tells me that it wasn't sounding that good on the show, so I'm going to cut it short. But it's actually, it's like three songs in one, an arrangement by Gustav Holst. Anyway, that was the St. Mark's Choir, St. Mark's Episcopal Church Choir in Fort Lauderdale. And I'm proud to be a member of the choir. So, anyhow, here we are. It's almost a new year. And here we are again, still doing our show. Come February, we'll have another anniversary. And well, I really love doing this show and bringing it to all of you listeners. And right now, I am proud to welcome my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Michael Annis, Karen Katowski, Julius Oliphant, Philip Ferruzio, and Frank Cordero. So this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream radio show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Denver, Colorado, in Mount Jackson, Virginia, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and wherever you are. My recommended list, Jason Leosatos, YouTube. His channel is called Outside the Box. Interview with Paul Craig Roberts talking about the Yellow Vest protests in France. Also, Truth Stream Media, YouTube, talking about the Yellow Vest protest in France. That's Jason Leosatos and Truth Stream Media. In order to understand what is happening, I recommend Jim Fetzer's blog, Scott Creighton on YouTube, Paul Craig Roberts, and False Flag Weekly News. Also, Democracy Now! And Common Dreams, though they refuse to really get to the bottom of things for whatever reason, but there's still good stuff there. Also, William Bloom's books, especially Killing Hope. Andre Vilcek's books, especially Exposing Lies of the Empire. The Burglary, a book about the regular Americans who broke into an FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania, and we found out about COINTELPRO. As we get further along in history and in life, we are finding out ever more how the greatest generation really was the hippies of the 60s. Most soul, most bravery, intelligence, and music. Hello, Chuck. Are you there?
Oh, well, sorry, Mike. I was talking with the mic turned down. Here we are. Our first guest of the evening is Philip Ferruzio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. And he has some very wonderful columns that are published all over the internet, and we're very lucky to have him. So here he is with It's the Empire, Stupid.
Good evening. Good evening, Working Sips. Forget the birth, celebrate Christ the man. Funny how so many so-called Christians kneel and perform such pomp and circumstance every December 25th. All the beautiful Christmas decorations and wonderful seasonal songs are in fitting tribute to what? Do any of the myriad of hypocrites and phony spiritual seekers ever actually read what the baby Jesus said as a man? Quote, just when the people saw him come, they said, all hail, behold the king. But Jesus answered not. He saw the money changers in the house of God, and he was grieved. The courts had been converted into marts of trade, and men were selling lambs and doves for offerings of sacrifice. And Jesus called the priests and said, behold, for paltry gain you have sold out the temple of the Lord. This house ordained for prayer is now a den of thieves. Can good and evil dwell together in the court of God? I tell you, no. And then he made a scourge of cords and drove the merchants out. He overturned their boards and threw their money on the floor. He opened the cages of the captive birds and cut the cords that bound the lambs and set them free. The priests and scribes rushed out, and they would have done him harm, but they were driven back. The common people stood in his defense. To this writer, the priests and scribes were symbolic of today's religious, political, and media hypocrites who flourish in great comfort and style. Jesus had laid into them as well. He said, "Woe unto you, you Pharisees and scribes! You love the highest seats in synagogues and courts and bid for salutations in the marketplace. Woe unto you, you tinsel gentry of the land! No man would ever think of you as servants of the Lord of hosts of what you do. Woe unto you, you masters of the law! You heap great burdens on the sons of men, yea, loads by far too great for them to bear, and you will never help to bear a feather's weight yourselves. Woe unto you, you masters of the law! You snatch the keys of knowledge from the hands of men." So, putting materialism and crazy consumerism aside, when each Christmas season is once upon us, please focus on something else for a moment. Stating it succinctly, those who run our military-industrial empire have hijacked Jesus. They begin with the baby born in the manger and snatch him right up until he's crucified. Even that aspect of his ending has been skewed. The fools and hypocrites who run this empire and influence many of its religions will tell you that his purpose here on earth was to die for your sins. They go on to tell you how heaven after our death is all that counts. Yogananda, the great Hindu teacher who introduced yoga to the West and even taught it to Gandhi, revered Jesus as the Logos, or the Christ. He revealed how this carnal existence is but a dream, and the manner in which each of us acts and behaves in this dream is ever so important to what will follow us after we leave this plane. Regarding the New Testament, reading it carefully will instruct anyone who really cares about what Jesus stood for. It was really unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness. And justice paramount, justice. And as the old saying goes, let justice prevail, or may the heavens fall. Happy New Year.
On the heels of its recent successful campaign modeled on the words of Henry David Thoreau, "If you see something, say something," the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has announced its next successful campaign, "Every Town Gets a Shooting." The dearth of any bona fide terrorist threat in the U.S. no doubt accounts for the rash of contrived attacks, including Aurora, Tucson, Sandy Hook, Boston, Santa Barbara, San Bernardino, Seattle, Las Vegas, Parkland, Pittsburgh, which are being used to promote an aggressive anti-gun agenda. The 9/11 attacks were done by the U.S. government and Israel. There were no terrorists. There are no terrorists. Nobody died at Sandy Hook or Boston, and on and on and on. And so, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and President Barack Obama and now President Donald Trump have set a goal, patterned after JFK's goal of reaching the moon, that within 5 years, every town in America will have a shooting of its own and will be able to put up an old cannon or plaque and have a memorial day of the shooting and heroes and a bigger police building. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard, because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we have intend to win, and the others too. President Kennedy. And then, of course, we fake going to the moon by using studios and props and Hollywood techniques, which we did have, in place of technology to actually get to the moon, which we did not have and still do not have. And in that same fake, brave spirit and tradition of deceit and cowardice, Barack Obama, who nobody knows where he's from or that his first job out of college was with the CIA and his mother was in the CIA, and not Donald Trump, and before him the Bushes and Clintons, tell us that these shootings and terror events are real. They tell anyone who listened that Al-Qaeda and Bob-Qaeda attacked us on September 11th. Because if we figure out the truth, their whole lives are a joke and a shambles. And so they are all pretty nervous and pretty motivated to keep especially this lie going, like a performer racing around the stage trying to keep all those plates spinning. But eventually one crashes and then they all crash. In his recent address at the West Wing Presidential Lavatory, while standing all alone in the marble edifice at the lone urinal, with Secret Service agents standing dutifully outside, hands folded over their privates because they too have to pee, but they have to wait, President Donald Trump addressed himself and outlined the Al-Qaeda and Bob-Qaeda threat, setting as his goal that the U.S. people would each have a shooting in their hometowns, grow their local police force to the size of the local Walmart staff, have ceremonial cannons and plaques and fake heroes and fake dead persons, and be so proud and scared to be Americans. He zipped up, walked proudly out of the presidential lavatory, past the Secret Service bathroom detail trailing a 9-foot piece of presidential toilet paper with the face of George Washington pattern, all the way to the big press conference in the Rose Garden. And of course, everyone cheered.
And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns. A world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and alleluia, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house afire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with the message, let me put it this way, while 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been since 9/11 accomplice after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. President Cosmo Nutt and First Lady Imelda Nutt attended the big funeral the other day, along with a bunch of other big shots. And since President Nutt is the sitting president, he's kind of host of things like this, so he gave out special notes to some of the really big shots that said they were going to court and then to prison because they either participated or have withheld evidence about the murder of President John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert, Martin Luther King Jr., also the events of September 11, 2001, the events at Sandy Hook, Boston, and Oklahoma City. Then, since they are the hosts of big shot funerals when they open in Washington, D.C., President Cosmo Nutt and First Lady Imelda Nutt invited all the other former presidents and their wives and former vice presidents and future penitentiary inmates over for ice cream and coffee. Tune in next week for another episode of The Americans, when we will see the airports jammed as a bunch of former presidents, former vice presidents, and future penitentiary inmates attempt to flee the country.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth, They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
I hear that train a-coming, it's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know when. I'm stuck at Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling, I'm down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. But I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep on moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4pm Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Also on my recommended list tonight, John Barber's film, B-A-R-B-O-U-R, Barber, his film, The American Media and the Second Assassination of John F. Kennedy. It's now available on Amazon. Also on my recommended list, on Joe Friendly's YouTube channel, Friendly as it sounds, YouTube channel, the video entitled 9/11 First Responder Patrick Dillon Describes Crime Scene. John Barber and Joe Friendly. Sorry about that. Our next guest to the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker, right in the heart of Des Moines. Frank's been doing this for many decades. We're going to hear now the conversation between Chuck Gregory and Frank Cordero.
Hello, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
Well, you caught us at an exceptional moment on a number of levels. Let's begin with the weather. It's kind of unseasonably balmy, like in the 40s and raining.
Okay.
It could easily be a spring day, but it ain't going to last. I know there's colder weather coming in very soon, but not to ruin what we're going to be doing tomorrow out at the base. Drone command base center. It'll be like 27, very doable for December 28th. So that's exceptional. The other thing is it's an exceptional night here at the Catholic Worker. We're not only doing what we normally do, feed Christ in the lines and the food lines that we have here and serve Him as best we can. We got a rabbi scholar who is going to come and share scripture stuff with us tonight to help set us up for our protest out at the Drone Command Center. So just to remind folks, these Drone Command Centers, as it is proscript in their very public webpage, have three things in which they are licensed to do. From Des Moines, with an armed drone in the air, anywhere on the globe. Three things. They go in and they are either seeking the target, killing the target, or assessing the kill. That's all they do.
Wow.
24/7. Now, they will tell you that very few of them are actually the pulling the triggers. Well, yeah. Okay, you got the whole damn surface of the planet. You got to have a lot of computer geeks. I get it. I do. Mm. On the other hand, this crowd is also the crowd that's feeding information to battleships, to airplanes,
yeah,
to safe houses.
to whatever special forces. This is the information eye in the sky weapon system that we're talking about that's been individually armed for the targeters who can do the whole act or pass it around. But they'll find them.
Wow.
And they'll assess. That's what we're dealing with. These people are doing it 24/7. So we have a guy who is going to try to help us, put our heads on right about the Christmas story. And specifically, the story of the killing of the innocent, King Herod. If you read the story, as Matthew tells it, as I alluded to last week, Matthew's very political. It's above board. The whole goddamn city of Jerusalem is in an uproar. Matthew has astrological things happening with the star and kingdom imperial stuff with the wise guys from Persia. And the star in the story tragically leads the world to Jesus and is also what leads the death squads to the doors of the children of Bethlehem. Mm. The star. And in Des Moines, we've taken over the role of the star. Mm. And it's now finding the baby Jesus all over the planet, targeting it, and giving assignments to kill the children, the innocent. And this is the irony. In the same town of Bethlehem, the stars of empire are killing babies. Only the Herods are the Israeli state. Yeah. It's a repeat, but the Herod was just one of the client states of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And we are the Roman Empire. And the Romans had hundreds of Herods, as we do. And we own the stars, at least for the function of finding the innocent and killing them. Well, don't get me going. This guy's going to help us break down that kind of story.
Well,
tomorrow we're going out to the site, and I'm planning on risking arrest again with a simple misdemeanor. Plan to probably spend a night in jail, and should be free to talk to you next week.
Okay. Well.
All right.
I hope that the protest goes well, and. I'm glad that you're getting this visit from the rabbi tonight.
Great book. The two books that rocked my world by West Howard Brook. It's called Come Out, My People, God's Call Out of Empire in the Bible and Beyond. And the second book, it's called Empire Baptized. How the church embraced what Jesus rejected through the second and fifth centuries. Both of them extraordinary reads.
Wow. I will have to look for them. All right, Frank. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Talk to you next year.
The mind of an American rules the world. The President, Warren Buffett, Tiger Woods, Katie Couric, John Stewart, the Michelin Man. No, stupid, it's you. You are king of the world, God, Superman, King Midas, all that. It's you. You are more than just a legend in your own mind. You are the man. And when the CIA, through the CIA propaganda machine called Radio Free Europe or the American Free Press, tells you the Russians are coming or the criminals are coming, or terrorists, or the Iranians, or Iraqis, or Afghans on nuclear-powered blue donkeys or big bees, and you believe it? Well, then, Zeke, that's how the world will go. You are powerful, the most powerful Yahoo who has ever lived in the history of living. And you are an idiot, and the world is going to burn. You are not an idiot on purpose, but an idiot nonetheless. The CIA, the persons in the CIA are smart, but they are evil, the actual evil empire, and they control you, the most powerful person in the world. If you were not an idiot, they could not do that, but you are an idiot. And that's a bummer, man. That's a bummer. Our next guest to the show is Karen Katowski. Karen Katowski is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. She was stationed at the Pentagon building on the day of 9/11. She has been an analyst in the Pentagon. She's run for Congress in Virginia. She has a radio show. She had a radio show. She's also written quite a bit. You can find her writings at lourockwell.com. And we're going to attempt right now to contact Karen Katowski in Virginia.
Hi, you've reached Karen and Hap Katowski. Please leave a message.
Well, let me try her other number. Okay. Keep your fingers crossed.
They're crossed.
You have reached the voicemail box of 540-331-459. At the tone, please
Well, Chuck, you must not be around tonight.
Perhaps not. I just heard my cell phone beep or something, so let me take a look at it. Why don't you read a bit while I'm doing that? And, we still have a chance to get her. We'll see. I'll let you know.
The moon. We went there and never went back. Makes sense. The same discovery happened with the big discovery of the car and the airplane in Hawaii and Las Vegas. And no problem in getting back from the surface of the moon to the main spaceship thing and the technology. You mean we could do that in the 60s when computers were as big as rooms and there was no such thing as personal computers, the internet, and we never went back? And, hey, wait, let go of me. Hey, where's your warrant? There's a beverage here, man. I have my rights. I'm going to the library. I'm doing a paper. Freaking hall monitors think they own the stupid school. And that press conference, wow. Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, they should have been, or you'd think they'd be, like, man, we are so excited to just get back from the moon. We had never tested that moon landing thing and then that takeoff thing from the moon. And then the hookup with the orbiter thing, because how could you practice that? And it all worked like a charm. I'm going to live. And I've been to, like, the moon, man. But they were like, we are so depressed and so shy. And did we see the stars or not? Yes, no, yes, I don't know. It's like almost like they were hiding something. Hey, let go of me. I left my pants in my underpants. I told you, man. Goddamn fascists. Chuck, this PSA message is brought to you by the DEA, the prison construction industry, and your local and federal politicians since who knows when. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks, Buddha. Thanks, Allah. Thanks, Alan the Alien, for the drug wars. How long has it been? Since Bush Sr. in the mid-80s, since Reagan, and followed up faithfully by Clinton and more Bush. And really, all your neighbors and church council members as well, huh? Locking human beings into cages for 10, 20, and 30 years, making their children cry their way into adulthood alone. That's us. We are everyone who ever worked to bring you the drug war. Hey, can we talk now? It wasn't about criminals. No, really, I'm not shitting. Dude, look at the bankers and all those who got us into war by lies, those who made money on killing. And look at the billions of dollars alcohol industry. All that stuff is not illegal, but marijuana is a natural growing plant. And we made it illegal. Pretty cool, huh? Awesome, dude. So here's to you. Thank you for watching television and playing miniature golf and protecting the world from white-tailed deer. for all you do. This bud's for you. And this message is brought to you by your local county jail. Give us your tired, huddled masses yearning to be free, and we'll lock them up. Put them in a small, dirty, old, crowded, out-of-the-way county jail. Tens of thousands of them throughout the United States, more than McDonald's, and we do it our way. If you've got poor people or some who came from somewhere else, if they are stupid enough to think the Statue of Liberty is holding up a torch and not a middle finger, send them to us. We'll teach them about America. We'll stick it to them our way. We're your local county jail. We're not the Holiday Inn. We're not Mother Teresa. We're not a country club. This is jail. And we get paid to work here. And then we can buy beer at the good old Homeland Tavern on our way home with our money and try to forget. God bless America and your local county jail. And now it's time for another episode of The Adventures of Buzz the Space Dog. We've heard all about the Russian space monkeys who went into outer space and didn't come back until the Soviet Union was gone. And then why? When they did come back, they were expecting maybe a parade or a nice DACA out on Tiger View Lane, but that didn't happen. Well, the Americans had their own space dog program going, trying to match the Russians with similar results. When those dogs returned from having been sent up by President John F. Kennedy and splashing down after November 22nd, 1963, the world they returned to was barely recognizable with Lyndon Johnson in the White House. Some of those dogs took the option of shooting right back out to space. Some moved to Ukiah. Some lived on the streets for years and years. Some raced to dig up some money buried in the backyard and moved to Edina. One of those was Buzz. When we last left Buzz, he had just received a certified letter hand-delivered by an unnamed new mail person packing Pomeranian spray. Buzz pinned the envelope to the floor with his paws and ripped it open. It was from one of his old space pals, Neil, the space poodle, a real lapdog's lapdog, Neil was. Uh-oh. He sniffed the letter closely. The letter was supposed to have been delivered days ago. Neil would be here today. Oh, crap, thought Buzz, and he pooped on the carpet, then sniffed it. Neil was a big shot. He had actually been to the moon. Buzz was only a test dog, just Earth orbit stuff. They didn't have the technology then. Computers were as big as whole rooms then. The radiation belt, getting buyer machine, all that came much later. Buzz hurried around, dusting, straightening, making the house look presentable. He pulled out all his slick moon photos and his moon rocks and set them on the kitchen table along with an excellent Eau de Toilette 1969 Apollo 11. Buzz sat in the chair with his nose looking out the front window. A long black limousine pulled up right to Buzz's front walk. The driver opened the door and out walked Neil, the stately poodle, still with so much style and class and pizzazz. When the bell rang, Buzz was right there, but he wheeled himself to wait 1002 and then nosed open the door. Buzz took Neil's hat, collar, whistle, and muzzle. He gave him the tour, and then they hopped up to the kitchen table to settle in. Buzz poured the toilet water into the bowls and pushed over the kibble with his nose. They talked about cats and birds and people and balls for a while, then sticks. Said Buzz, I've been meaning to ask you. He put one foot up on the table to drag the photos over closer. These moon pictures... He could sense that Neil was already getting tense. His ears were pointy and his fur bristling. They almost looked like they were done in a studio, at least to me. The lunar lander thing, there's no dust underneath it. And wouldn't there be? Then Buzz nosed the moon rock over where they could both see it up close. How do we know this is a real moon rock and not just something, well... Buzz pointed with his nose toward the backyard. I've seen lots of these out there. How do we, you know? Neil growled and showed his fangs. He stood and curled his tail between his legs. Buzz pushed the rock closer, got the other photo in his teeth that Neil was supposed to have taken of the other dog with the perfect reflection in the face shield that seemed kind of improbable, and tossed it down in front of Neil. Neil nipped him. Neil bit Buzz right on the paw. And then he hopped down and with his nose in the air, trotted over to stand in front of the front door. The driver opened it, and Neil pranced down to the limo and stood by the back door until his driver came and opened it. Buzz stood in the open doorway and watched them leave. Buzz saw himself, just the reflection in the darkened windows of the limousine as they pulled away. Stay tuned next week for another adventure of Buzz the Space Dog, when we will see Buzz ask himself yet again, "What was that?" Thinking he might have heard something, and then admonishing himself, "Nobody else heard it," he said. "I must be going crazy, or maybe it's Alzheimer's. I wonder if I can put that where I put that dog years conversion chart that came in the Alpo bag." The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Russian menace. Patrice Lumumba must die. Jacobo Arbenz must die. The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Mossadegh must go. El Salvador, Italian workers, peasants, Greek socialists, Nicaraguan peasants, Grenada, Philippines, Vietnam, Laos, Argentina, all threats to the American way of life. Eating Doritos and watching TV in the dark with a cushy pillow. They are out there. They are dangerous. Workers, self-government, health care, roads, no police, no military. The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. And back to you, Chuck.
Thank you, Mike. All right. I'm doing a couple of songs that my band plays. I play in a band called Sundays at 5. We play every couple of weeks in one of the local venues. So here's one of the ones that that we do. I'm going to Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City, here I come. They got some pretty little women there. I'm gonna get me one. Now I'm standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine. Now I'm standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine, with my Kansas City baby and my bottle of cherry wine. Well, I might take a train, I might take a plane. If I gotta walk, I'm gonna get there again. Going to Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, I'm gonna get me some. They got some pretty little women there, I'm gonna get me a one. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. Going to Kansas City, here I come. They got some pretty little women there, I'm gonna get me one. Now I'm standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine. Yes, I'm standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine, with my Kansas City baby and my bottle of cherry wine. I might take a train, I might take a plane. If I gotta walk, I'm gonna get there again. I'm going to Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, I'm gonna get me one. Coming up in our next segment, we have Julius Alifong and Michael Annis. See you then.
www.thewaymakers.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest for the show is Michael Annis. Michael Annis joins us each month from Denver, Colorado. Michael is the executive editor of Howling Dog Press. He is also a poet and activist, and he's been with us on this show for quite a long time, and we're pleased and lucky to be able to have Michael Annis on each month. And now we're going to attempt to join live in Denver, Michael Annis.
Hello.
Well, hello, Michael. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. You're on the air.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So it's good to be back on the New American Dream, Chuck and Mike. And I was listening a little earlier, and I could only access the program through the call-in number on the phone. I don't know whether you were having technical difficulties or not, but whatever. It seems to be working now. I've been listening for the last about 15 minutes on the website. Were you aware of that?
I was listening via the website, and it was working for me. So maybe it was something with your internet connection.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. But it's fine now. I don't know what it was. But
Okay, good.
So, tonight I'm going to perform part four of Ab initio. I'm sorry. I'm going to perform part three of Ab initio. And without further ado, here we go. In all the dispensations of a single human soul transcending through an infinite number of lives, it is one individual in all permutations of individual and group, of individual and clan, whose grandfather is one's great grandson, shattering the walls of fetal regression, existential undoing, and the alienation of isolation as bodies whirl knitting together repetitively and compulsively to meld as one into psyche, rolling and tumbling through the ages of human history. Human weavings, tapestries of light, singing from one death to another, from one incarnation to another. The faces and bodies of all those who could have been in a single human ejaculation, billions of sperm cells of a life, and those who were never born, as they did not fertilize the egg, while their consciousness travels on, always looking for birth and rebirth, for inhabitation, not occupation. Locked within the brave new world order of imprisonment, war, peace, rich, poor, man, woman, birth, death, left brain, right brain, free will, determinism, trauma, prana, occupation, inhabitation, infinity. Even if one has kissed the essence of zero, even if one conceives of the infinitely gigantic and attempts to uphold its corollary as infinitely minuscule, one is still under the eye of the gods of subjection to the infinite. The personal interpretation of the abstract, God or godless, is the only reality. Ah, one gloats, temporal. Temporal, distemporal, is temporal time, temporal space. This moment, now, is left to the sadistic whims of the tongue in its passionate yet imprecise licking of the cunt of destiny as destiny writhes and pants for the cock of infinity and the balls of eternity. Old Bull Burroughs strides through the quantum moment. He's thinking of meat, thinking of what happened to his meat. He never sulks about it. He never grumbles, nor does he pout. He turned in his angel's wings at the pearly gates. Now he's free to do what he wills without interference, divine or otherwise. But what became of his goddamned meat? He laid it down somewhere, and it annoys him that someone or something made off with it. He is an investigator, neither obligated to religion nor science, nor what poses as history. And there is no better place to start than with what you don't know. And he does not know where his meat is. He is the curator of human ugliness, and he has eternal job security as it has no end. where humans disenfranchise the species from humanity and spin it into eternal sociopathy. Oh, he so relishes his job, though it only pays minimum wage. Jobs are hard to come by, even in the afterlife. Without his meat dragging along behind him, he no longer needs to dull the pain, but it tasted so good. In the eternal now, he can really get down to work. Affirmative, he states, but it is not an affirmation of free will. Humans are owned by viruses, he states flatly. All investigated in the whims of language, all invested within the space of travel along the evolving less hemispheric strand, right hemispheric strand, of the genome of past, present, future, which is the birthplace and graveyard of language. If there were no overlappings, no blending of the two, if only either or were the option, would one rather be infinite or eternal? Affirmative. He takes a final puff from his cigarette, rubs out its glowing ember butt in the third eye of global psychic oppression, global psychic imprisonment, then whips out his chainsaw, grinds and gnaws through the corpus callosum of existence. Fuck the bridges, they only get in the way. If I had my meat back, I could create something far better, such as rebellion, he muses. The orphan leper of chance. But if the humans choose to abandon it, to live in harmony with all extant, living without it, they are doomed. Oh, if, affirmative. Naming things gives power over them, that we may use them, for language is less communicative and more manipulative. God to Adam, have dominion, or have power over the beasts by naming them. Thus, man to man. Savages, renegades, Injuns, kikes, Japs, krauts, chinks, gooks, wops, spicks, hunkies, whiteys, spooks, niggers, dykes, fags, fairies, bums, tramps, zealots, rednecks, liberals, crackers, cunts, dicks, pinheads, eggheads, nerds, and so on. In a universe offering unlimited potential, the Homo sapien is definitely one of God's star students. In the anthropomorphic center of the name of the infinite I Am, there first blossomed light, then bloomed love, and from their seed were born music, image, and language, the muses and siblings of supreme indoctrination. Language, bearing truth, is as much of a deception as light of day or daylight to the darkness of the universe in fathomless night. Language deceives us into thinking the description of something is that something. Yet daylight is what makes the flowers grow and bloom. Without light, all fantasy disappears and leaves us with the reality of the void, the eternal darkness in greater volume and abundance than all the pinpoints of night. When comes the exact amount of whiteout, the glint of God's razor's edge, infinitesimal quantum point, where light overcomes all darkness? When comes the contradiction that enlightens and illuminates while bearing definition? When was language called into being, and was it the pleasure of living language to be the language of pleasure or pain? And when did language ensure its fall by instantiation into the human genome? I am taking the name Askesis, living inside consciousness, outside nature. Wanderer, displacer of oceans of bigotries and assumptions, floating into troubled seas of emotional strife and vexation of spirit. As the first fire sparks, then explodes raging within, Mobs of terrified, crestfallen, self-duped, ignorant mental peons, pitchforks and torches in hand, hunt the monster they call demonization. Serpent child of Tao, slivering away between realms of darkness and light, casting out the forbidden, the taboo, the misunderstood. The artist cleans and oils the barrel of his brush, picks up the empty shells, and hears his images breathing, sighing, laughing, crying. My dear God, some of them are really getting it on, like cats in heat. Voices bewitched into what was once only deciphered by sight. Travelers from the beginning, from the womb, they have interlaced the artist into the artist's creation. Chained to the ship's mast, he is a harpoon awaiting the great white whale. He tracks the ancient archetypes, the hunter bound inert as the never-ending chain of sirens sing out his name, the chain that chains nothing to nothing's chain, each siren's song a slice of self-reverberating self-awareness lost at sea, floating back into the moment of being, mutilated, broken, or whole, songs of holons, imagining their own past, spilling into now, incanting future holism.
Thank you, Michael. Very good.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Chuck.
Well, you know, we love having you on, and I'm so glad that you're, you know, back to every month. And hey, this is our last show of the year, so we will see you next year.
Okay, sounds good. 2019, here we come.
Indeed.
Okay.
It'll probably be another interesting year.
It won't it? Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
All right. See you later, Chuck. Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye. Our next guest of the show is Julius Alafong. Julius Alafong joins us each month from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Julius is a student and an activist, and he sends along this description of his piece for tonight. This show presents Christmas in war-torn areas of Cameroon. And now Julius Alafong from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Mike. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and to our listeners of the New American Dream radio show. The festive period have been so difficult in Cameroon, especially in the English-speaking zones, where we've been having secession conflicts or a war of secession or separation or restoration, as they prefer to call it, for more than 2 years now. It's been very hard over there, and I've had the privilege to be on the field and experience what people go through. Some areas I couldn't just venture because of the very risky nature to get killed at any time. The war has caused a lot of damage economically, psychologically, and we have a lot of internally displaced people from the two English-speaking regions who have taken refuge to this other side of Cameroon, the French-speaking side. Even life over here at the French-speaking area of Cameroon is not that easy for some of them. I hear from the English-speaking part, but the advantage I have is that I grew up in the French-speaking part of Cameroon, And I can express myself very well in French. I have many Francophone friends. And this is different from those who have fled from the war. And most of them have never, ever been to this other part of the country. They don't even know how to speak French. Consequently, it becomes very difficult for them to survive, for them to interact with those who do not know how to speak French, who do not know how to speak English, I mean the Francophones over here. On the other side, the refugees who fled into the bushes and into Nigeria to take refuge because most of them are running away from the military because the military has not been treating the people fairly, I mean the innocent civilians fairly. So many families, mothers, children, grandchildren, old people are in the bush on the other side towards Nigeria. And I couldn't reach there because, first of all, it's difficult. The transportation is, it's not, first of all, it's not very secured. Secondly, the financial means is not there because I'd like to really go there and even assist them in one way or the other. But I was too preoccupied with my research, so I couldn't reach about there. But I discovered that people, I mean, so many children are born into the bushes. I mean, are given birth to, or are delivered in the bushes. They stay in the bushes under the cold. Some have been dying. And the awful part of it is that the government of both Cameroon and Nigeria seem not to care. The people have been abandoned on their own. Their villages have been burnt down, and they just have nowhere to go. And still on this other side, we have, you know, Cameroon is a heterogeneous state with so many ethnic or even tribal groups. And it has been in such a way where there has been this growing tension between the Anglophones and the Francophones. That is, those who hail or who were colonized by France, as opposed to those who were colonized by the British, where I hail from. So there is this atmosphere where Francophones look at themselves as superior citizens, subjecting Anglophones like to second-class citizens position, something like, just like how Canada is. But the reverse is that in Canada, the Anglophones are in majority and the Francophones are just in Quebec minority. In Cameroon, it's the reverse. The Francophones are in a majority and the Anglophones in a minority. But Canadians with the, now I'm trying to make a comparative study, when they had this problem with Quebecois who wanted to create their own state, it looks like they devised a system of governance where the Quebecois could also become prime ministers, could also have some government offices. But in Cameroon, it's just impossible. And after reading a lot of articles, a lot of documents, I discovered that it is impossible because France never really gave real independence to the French-speaking part of Cameroon. And up till now, France is still, or Cameroon is still dependent on France. France is still deciding on what has to happen in Cameroon, which means that Cameroon is not really independent from France yet. But when the Anglophones were coming into the Union, they were really independent from Britain. So I tried to find out why were the French so bitter on the African colonies, and the British were not that bitter? So I discovered that with the American War of Independence, the British people learned a lot. They understood that you cannot subject a people to your dictate forever. There will come a time when they will fight back to get their freedom. But the French or France has never had that experience like America before. They have never really colonized a region where they were outrightly rejected, like what happened in the USA. Secondly, the British Revolution was a peaceful revolution where the monarchy and the commoners had some sort of agreement to create the upper house and the lower house of parliament. They were resolving the monarchical power over the country. But in France, the 1789 revolution, I think so, was so violent to the point where the king was beheaded. So the French have never really been able to cultivate this attitude of treating people fairly. So that is why they have been so hard on the African colonies, Cameroon included. So the tension over here is still very tense. And the last 2 weeks during the UN summit, so many governments of some of these Western states had some firm stance on the issue going on in Cameroon, where they asked the current president to do everything possible to put in place an unconditional dialogue committee where people will urge grievances and solutions will be made for the crisis. We don't know the way forward, but what I know, what I suspect is that almost all a good number of the English speaking people want their independence. With all the killings, all the burning of villages, all the destruction meted on them by the Cameroonian military, mostly led by French-speaking Cameroonians, it's so painful to the point where they never believed this could be done to them. Whatever the case, we just pray that God will intervene and will have a solution to this crisis. Merry Christmas again and Happy New Year, and you guys stay blessed. Bye-bye.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, Mycoin, Yourcoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mike?
Chuck, I was waiting for you to say something. Our internet went down. I couldn't send a message. So it must be time to go, right?
It is time to go.
Here we go. Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to Public School, to America, to your life. We might as well get started, and we may as well begin at the beginning. The moon landings were faked. Also, morning recess is at 10:15 sharp. You will wear a coat and you will line up quietly along the chalkboard when I snap my fingers like this. The FBI and CIA killed John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert. No peeing in the sandbox. Anyone who does will so live to regret it. Please write the Gulf of Tonkin in black pen only across the top of your head. We will get to that later. Lunch begins promptly at 11:45. What you do not finish by 12 noon will be packed neatly back into your sack or lunchbox and take it home. Nothing stays in the cloakroom overnight. Nothing. Pearl Harbor is not what your parents think it was. We will be having Parents Pearl Harbor Day in December, debunking that whole Tom Brokaw Greatest Generation garbage. No talking. That goes without saying, correct? Good. The FBI and ATF burned children your age alive at a place called Waco. They blew children your age to bits at a place called Oklahoma City. If you brought your rugs as you were instructed, you will have nap time at 9:30 this morning. September 11th, 2001, which you may or may not have heard of, was done by your own government to start wars to make money for the wealthy men and women who actually run this country and this world. The word democracy, as used in American media, is propaganda itself. Voting and marching and parades down the middle of the street are virtually useless. If you had any sense at all, you would not come back tomorrow. But if you do, we will learn and we will understand and we will grow. And in due time, we will blow the lid off this pop stand. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a fiber car and keys and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. And now it's time again for the Wisconsin Daytime Drama Straight Out of Kenosha, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Green Bay and the campaign by certain parishioners to make the colors green and gold permanent for all liturgical vestments. As we enter the Utter Tavern, we hear the Bee Gees singing, "Don't Throw It All Away," the first ever song about mulch. We find Poncho and Lefty waiting for the Price is Right. Lefty has just finished wiping down the bar and is just now refilling the peanut bowl.
Faced with working class life, I see only one solution. Beer.
Remember, they don't hate us for our freedoms. They hate us because we're sociopaths.
Right, Lefty. You see the news today? In Congress, as on television, generals are treated with awed respect. Service members spoken of as if they were saints. Liberals are especially careful to make the right noises. Obeisance to the uniform having become the shibboleth of patriotism, as anti-communism used to be. Across the political spectrum, throughout the media and private and public life, the pieties and ritual declarations are second nature now. Warriors, heroes, mission, our young men and women in uniform, our brave young men and women, our finest young people. All military personnel are now heroes. Sporting events have turned into military worship services. Patriotism is now equated with admiration for the military. And of course, the big lie that the troops are defending our freedoms is repeated morning, noon, and night. The cult of uniform has spread to churches as well. It's okay for someone to put on a military uniform and kill someone halfway around the world who is no threat to America, but it's murder if the same person killed someone here in the United States. A terrorist? Well, that's anyone who detonates a bomb, unless he's wearing a U.S. military uniform.
I'm sorry, Ponch, I wasn't listening. What channel is it on anyway? Join us next week for another episode of the Wisconsin Daytime Drama Straight Out of Kenosha, sponsored by Cheesehead Earbuds, Beverly's Big Bratwurst, and Lake with Soda Misty Mulch Beer. We now hear from Johnny, sitting in his car waiting to order at McDonald's, making a video blog while he waits, with the recorder sitting on the dash, secured with duct tape, for when he has deep thoughts, as his children put it.
Remember this. The military's not the answer. They're not heroes. They're murderers. Remember 9/11. Did not happen as we've been told. It was terrorism conducted by our own government against us for the long-range purpose of enslaving us. Remember John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. They were killed by our government because they were powerful enough to threaten the people who make money from our system. The rest of us merely survive. There are actually, if you could imagine it, people who make millions and billions. If you are able to threaten them, they would kill you too. That. It's what the United States of America stands for. Boston, Aurora, Sandy Hook, the moon landings, Orlando, Paris, London, Brussels, LAX, dozens more, all fakes, hoaxes, remember that. The reason to fool you, to scare you, to say, yes, it's okay for the police to search my home, my car, my body, because I don't want to be called a communist. A criminal, a terrorist. I don't want that. I want anything but that. Remember Operation Northwoods, Operation Mockingbird, MK Ultra, COINTELPRO. If you don't know what they are, remember, you can Google it. Remember Cass Sunstein. cognitive infiltration. If you don't know who he is, just Google it. Remember, you can do that. Look it up. Remember Joseph Goebbels. Think of our media. We all think of our newspapers and radio and television newspaper of years ago, and now it's honest, truthful people. Some maybe, most not. You need to know that. Remember that you have the power to change the world. You cannot become president. They told you that you could, but because this is America, but that was another lie. But you do have the power to change the world, nevertheless, just by doing the work to learn what's really going on. The legitimacy of this economic and military agenda ultimately relies on propaganda. The terrorists are a creation of U.S. intelligence. The broader public is not ignorant. It's the media that instills that ignorance. It's an engineered process. Manipulation of public opinion.
You may move ahead to the second window. Your order is ready.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. And now to honor our former Secretary of Defense of the United States of America, Mad Dog Mattis, once the commander of United States forces in Fallujah, we read from the Marvel comic book, The Adventures of Fighting Father Jack Duffy, War Priest of West Moon Rock Lake. Fighting Father Jack Duffy, War Priest of West Moon Rock Lake, wore his camo robes with his Air Force ball cap. He was hurrying all around, trying to get ready in the sacristy, helping the older boys get their camo surplices over their heads. Then he had to dash out into the church to make sure the choir wore camo, and the ushers had the Air Force, Marines, Navy, and Army ball caps to pass out to everyone at the door. The big Joseph and Mary statues on both sides of the altar wore banners across their chests, like beauty pageant contestants. Said, freedom isn't free. And the regular United States flag on the altar had been supersized and was now stretched across the whole back wall. For the big back-to-school Sunday service, soldiers recently returned from Afghanistan and Benghazi and Damascus would do the readings, park the old people's cars, and take up the collection. Father Jack has asked Bob to do the gospel reading. Bob was in Fallujah back in the very early days of the war. He took on Father Duffy's request to rewrite the Gospel of Luke. He called it the Gospel According to Fallujah. It came time for the Gospel. Bob stood when Father Jack Duffy nodded to him and walked to the podium. From his back pocket, Bob drew out the paper, spread it on the lectern, and began to read. It was a hotbed of insurgency. It was Operation Phantom Fury. It was the smell that first hit me. A smell that's difficult to describe and one that will never leave me. It was the smell of death. Hundreds of corpses were decomposing in the houses, gardens, and streets of Fallujah. Bodies were rotting where they had fallen. Bodies of men, women, and children, many half-eaten by wild dogs. A wave of hate had wiped out two-thirds of the town, destroying houses and mosques, schools and clinics. This was the terrible and frightening power of the U.S. military assault. The accounts I heard over the next few days will live with me forever. You may think you know what happened in Fallujah, but the truth is worse than you could possibly have imagined. In one of the makeshift refugee camps that surround Fallujah, we found a 17-year-old woman. I'm from the Jolan district, she told me. Five of us, including a 55-year-old neighbor, were trapped together in our house when the siege began. American Marines came to our house. My father and the neighbor went to the door to meet them. We were not fighters. We thought we had nothing to fear. I ran into the kitchen and put on my veil since men were going to enter our house. It would be wrong for them to see me with my hair uncovered. This saved my life. As my father and neighbor approached the door, the Americans opened fire on them. They died instantly. Me and my 13-year-old brother hid in the garden in the kitchen behind the fridge. The soldiers came into the house, caught my older sister. They beat her. Then they shot her, but they did not see me. Soon they left, but not before they destroyed our furniture and stolen the money from my father's pocket. The Iraqi National Guard used loudspeakers to call on people to get out of the houses carrying white flags, bringing all their belongings with them. They were ordered to gather outside near the mosque in the center of town. Eight members of one family, one of them a six-month-old child, gathered their belongings, walked in single file as instructed to the mosque. When they reached the main road outside the mosque, they heard a shout, but they could not understand what was being shouted. Ayad told me it could have been now in English. Then the firing began. The U.S. soldiers appeared on the roofs of surrounding houses and opened fire. Ayad's father was shot in the heart, his mother in the chest. They died instantly. Two of Ayad's brothers were also hit, one in the chest and one in the neck. Two of the women were hit, one in the hand and one in the leg. Then the snipers killed the wife of one of Ayad's brothers. When she fell, her five-year-old son ran to her and stood over her body. They shot him dead, too. Survivors made desperate appeals to the troops to stop firing. But Ayad told me that whenever one of them tried to raise a white flag, they were shot. After several hours, he tried to raise his arm with the flag, but they shot him in the arm. Finally, he tried to raise his hand, so they shot him in the hand. The five survivors, including the six-month-old child, lay in the street for 7 hours. Then four of them crawled to the nearest home to find shelter. The next morning, the brother who was shot in the neck also managed to crawl to safety. "This is the gospel of the Lord," Bob said. "Thanks be to God," repeated the congregation. Bob lowered his head and stumbled to his seat. Fighting Father Jack Duffy, war priest of West Moonrock Lake, bounded down from his padded chair up on the altar, stood in front of the congregation, raised his hands, smiled, and shouted, "Freedom isn't free." Please turn in your hymn books to the Star-Spangled Banner and stand with me as we honor America, and I ask the ushers to now begin to take up the collection. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR of the 60s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about this long 13-year war debacle to trial. Put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon, so every American can watch. Just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Donald Trump knows the whole truth about 9/11. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars everywhere based on a lie. He knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way to the hole. And no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered, or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" These are not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. These letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie. And the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us. They want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. As we approach the end of another New American Dream radio show and another year, I'd like to thank all of you for being with us, listening to our show. We hope you'll be back next week and every week. And we hope you'll head over to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com. And make a donation, because these guys, they work really hard. They put on two streams of music pretty much 24/7 to keep everything working. And it's a listener-supported station, so they deserve your support. I'd also like to thank all of our guests tonight, and a special thanks to my co-host, Mike Palachuk. Mike writes the scripts for these shows. He organizes everything. And he's the heart and soul of this show. And I really appreciate him having the opportunity to do this show with Mike for the last 7 or 8 years, whatever. It's going to be 8 years in February. So thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thanks to you, Chuck, for all you do, everything you do to make the show possible. And as you said, thanks to our guests, Julius Alifong, Michael Annis, Phil Ferruzio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you will find information about all of our regular guests. Also, the show archives, go to newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N magazine.us. If you would like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. Donations can also be sent to Richard Framer. We hope to have him back in January. The Geopolis Project, care of Holy Family Catholic Church, 1715 Izzard Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68102. And also, if you have any comments about the show, you can write to me at nwestiowa@gmail.com. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar McKean. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
She would never say where she came from. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright or in the darkest night, no one knows. He comes and goes. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you change with every new day, still I'm gonna miss you. Don't question why she needs to be so free. She'll tell you it's the only way to be. She just can't be changed to a life where nothing's gained and nothing's lost. And such a call. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you? When you change with every new day, still I'm gonna miss you. There's no time to lose, I heard her say. Catch your dreams before they slip away. Dying all the time. Lose your dreams and you will lose your mind. And life unkind. Good night, everyone.
Message to our favorite people in all the world, our listeners. Revolution Radio is you. Now, thanks to your continuing support, Revolution Radio will embark on its sixth year bigger and better than ever. You, the listeners, have made Revolution Radio what it is, the number one commercial-free, listener-supported talk radio station on the web and in the world. With 24 hours of live programming, 92 hosts on two astounding networks, Studio A and Studio B, delivering directly to you the most cutting-edge information available. In fact, you, the listeners, have gone on to be some of our most popular radio hosts. You, the listener, offer feedback that molds our programming to appeal to our worldwide audience. In fact, you, the listener, provide us with eyes and ears on the ground to give us the inside scoop on stories the mainstream media fears to touch, reporting about newsworthy events in your area, and you, the listener, are the lifeblood of this station. And we thank you for being such a treasured member of our Revolution Radio family. And so this holiday season, from all of us to all of you, have a happy and safe holiday season, and let's make this new year a success once again together. Thank you.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener support.